Okay, so maybe we can start with you telling us the general things about the uprising. How did it start? Was there a special occasion, or why did it start?
So the uprising in Slovenia in winter 2012 and 2013 was one uprising in the wave of the uprisings of this year, like in Bulgaria, and then at around the same time, similar things happened in Croatia a couple of months before. Similar things happened, and also Taksim Square, so in Istanbul, in Turkey, I think it was a bit later. And also, I think it is important to situate this in time to understand, of course, that this was not just Slovenian thing. It was one uprising among many in Europe and the world in the time of austerity, of crisis, of a lot of people revolting strongly against the destructive politics of ruling class and capitalism. And in Slovenia, what happened was that in winter 2012, a corrupt local government in the second city of Maribor, second biggest city in the country, in Maribor, had a really nice idea, really interesting idea to set up a radar system that would find people driving too fast through the city streets. And this sparked the spontaneous revolt in the city of Maribor first. People started to just spontaneously, non-organized way, destroy the facilities of this radar system. And then out of this came the protests on the street that brought a lot of people to the streets of Maribor. First 50, and then 500, and then 1 week later, 5,000.
But can you maybe explain a little bit more in details how the people reacted on that radar system, or how they destroyed it, or
And why?
and yeah.
Why? I think it was a very spontaneous reaction to the classic situation where people felt that the government is really fucking them up. So it was just a way how to steal money from the people for really very banal reasons. So people felt it is fun, yeah, it is connected with the culture of car ownership, car culture, all this stuff, motorization of traffic. But still, people really felt that this is something that directly affects their way of life in a way, and this triggered extreme hate towards first towards the system, radar system in this case. And then this spread to the local government, and then to the whole national system of government. People smashed their cars in the radar and destroyed it. The other example was burning them with I don't know what, with some kind of incendiary device. And then another example was to put the rope around the installation and then just pull it out of the ground with a car. Then there was I think couple of examples of smashing a car into this installation to destroy it. And then
But their own car with the numbers on it, or really kamikaze action?
There was in this, let's say, in the weeks when this system was being installed, there was also, when this started to happen, there were a lot of YouTube films on this topic, like, and it was some kind of every 2 days it was in the news that a new radar was destroyed. And then everybody was in a way cheering for the anonymous vandals that were doing the direct action and taking out the raiders out of the system basically. But interesting in this case was that it didn't finish here, but these actions individualized, they somehow stroke the court. So, and this was the point of mobilization also for the political protest. So when the protests were called to cancel the whole project, people started to come, and on third protest, when there were 5,000 people on the streets of Maribor, in the city that has never seen a spontaneous protest of this size, this was really something. And then the situation escalated because the police reacted really nervous and aggressively, and riots just took place, which is not really something that people in Maribor or in Slovenia in general are used to. So people don't know how, people usually don't know how tear gas smells, they don't know how it feels to be attacked by police horses, they don't know how does it look like to be arrested massively. And this all happened in Maribor on this one night when the protest against the radar system refocused itself on the protest against the whole corrupt ruling class in Maribor, in Slovenia in general. And the extreme violence that the police used on that night then in turn sparked spontaneous protests the next day in a lot of towns in Slovenia, also in Ljubljana. And then in next 10 days there were maybe more than 50 protests around the country in with people, I don't know, from 100 to 20,000 people attending. And all in all, it was unprecedented situation because usually you know what is going to happen with the protests or who is doing it or whatever, but this just exploded. As a reaction to the police violence on the streets, there were protests in maybe 5 different cities at the same time, and this was already the protest not against the local issues, but it was let's say the analysis could be that these demonstrations were the expression of extreme in a way rejection of prevailing state of things in society. In society hit by years of capitalist devastation. So it was an outburst of rage and of desire to do things differently. The leading slogan that people in Maribor coined was Gotovsi, and this means you are finished, and it was addressed to the mayor that was behind this radar project. And it was addressed, it was this slogan, you're finished, was also had this dialect. It was in Styrian dialect, which added colorfulness to this. And we could say that the masses on the streets discovered a new political language in those moments, in those days that they were, basically a lot of people were rioting, but a lot of people that have never been in the political protest of self-organized nature before, they were cheering. I mean, they were supporting those people that were doing maybe more colorful things on the street.
But can you explain a little bit further for the listeners which are not into that thing? What's the colorful on this dialect? What kind of dialect is it, or what's the?
It's a dialect, regional dialect of the Maribor region, and it's rare that political statements are being expressed in any other language than the one that is used by mainstream media, by the politicians. So in the official language, the official Slovenian, and then. I think this is important because this shows that it was a people's revolt, basically. And as people moved from destroying the radars to protests, and then to protests everywhere, while doing it, they were creating the language in which they want to portray this. And the importance of language was also echoed by all the other protests in the other cities, because they translated the same the same slogan, you are finished, into their local dialects. So this I think it gave the to the whole situation some layer of authenticity, of honesty, whatever.
And was there any perspective for you as anarchists in it?
That was the question that we, of course, were faced with immediately. So, and also we were dealing before this situation escalated in our internal discussion. So what can be the role of anarchists in social struggles? What is the position from which we enter these struggles? What is what can be done? What could be our tools? And then in this situation, when Slovenia was practically in a way burning, and so many new people had got the direct experience of also police brutality, but also of empowerment that self-organized action can bring. It was, we had to find a good answer to this immediately. So we participated. So we said that first and the most important thing is we need to establish within the revolt a space for us that will allow us, that we will be able to be a part of the revolt as anarchists, as us, so sincerely, with our real positions, with our real practices, no compromises. So, and we said we are willing to be on the streets and wherever with everybody that can respect this, that can respect and this autonomous. So this is why we organized together with other anti-authoritarians here in Ljubljana. We organized ourselves into anti-capitalist bloc, in which not only anarchists were present. And this anti-capitalist bloc, all the discussions, the organization in times of this uprising was done through this anti-capitalist bloc and the assemblies. And we did our own calls for mobilization and organized on the street. So in the way that we could feel safe and powerful on the street. So this anti-capitalist bloc allowed us to take initiative, basically. So in the immediate aftermath of riots in Ljubljana and Maribor, we took the initiative to continue the next day the protest on the street and to try to give some content, anti-authoritarian content, to the whole revolt through banners, through slogans. We wanted to keep the momentum open and to keep it open for everybody, including us. So, and we, in this meant to counter the narrative of, you know, violent protesters, of people that don't know what they are, why they are on the streets. We said, of course, our articulations through slogans, through banners, through statements, through our media, where people know more than enough. They know why they are on the street. We know why we are on the streets, because we cannot stand this state of things anymore, and because the elites just need to go. Everybody needs to go. We need to change the whole system, like, radically. And the truth of this analysis, I think, was confirmed by the form and by the content of all these street mobilizations. We wanted to affirm, to try to affirm what was already happening on the street, and then to try to block criminalization of the whole moment, of the whole situation, by articulating things that every methods are legitimate, are useful. We need to take care of each other. We need to feel safe, and we will not, of course, I mean, we cannot divide protests between good and bad, etc., the usual things.
But let's talk a little bit more about this kind of meetings you organized from the anti-capitalist bloc. Who participated in it? Like, were there the people which were on the streets, where did they participate in this kind of discussions as well, or how did you manage this kind of stuff? Where were the meetings, and were they on the streets, or like in other countries sometimes they organize like in the neighborhood, like discussions, or how was it?
At first, so let's say in this eruptive phase of the whole uprising that lasted maybe 2 weeks, with all the predictability, we focused more on the anti-capitalist bloc, how to organize our presence on the street, how to feel powerful and safe there.
So it was in this bloc, and this was mainly organized by activists from anarchists,
this was
different kind of activists, but it was like usual activists which organized or discussed how to act in this kind of uprising, and not with the people from the streets together the discussion.
Anti-capitalist bloc, it was, because it was important point of the departure for us that we start from our positions and where we are situated. So from the community that in a way already existed, that, and also anti-capitalist meetings where the composition was people that are active in anti-authoritarian autonomous initiatives already, plus
but
those
you
that know us.
I mean, you had the feeling like you need this kind of correlation, and you are not that strong as anarchists to get a big output or something with to reach the people, or what?
Like I say, and soon we felt, not felt, but we, of course, since we want to have some influence on the society, we want to, we really are serious about making change happen. And so at one point, very soon, a couple of weeks into the whole thing, we called for the public assembly of the uprising that was open as many people as was possible. I think it was attended by maybe 150 or 200 people, and we, in a way, we did set the, let's say, the, some basic, we tried to establish some basic principles for this assembly to function. So we wanted from the beginning to be clear that this assembly is anti-fascist, anti-capitalist, etc., non-hierarchical by nature. So whoever feels that can be part of this agenda is welcome to join. So it was definitely an open thing, but not completely open, and for the whole of the society. And this was not the first meeting of this assembly was not on the street, it was in one of the squats, but still the number of people and the way the debate went, it was clear that it was really much broader participation than just anarchists. But so we created this space of discussion, and we wanted it to be the one of the tools of organizing the continuation of the revolt. And then, so we created the space, but also in this space we participated with our proposals.
But how did you get in contact with the other people on the street? Was there any contact, or was...
Yes, I mean, our presence on the street, one of the basic principles is we try to be very open and communicate all the time, plus communicate not only with friends, but with whomever. So if we are on the street together, we communicate with people through materials, direct personal contact, plus always in that kind of situations, people are searching for connections. So it's much easier. So, but we approach this in an organic way. So we know we are not so much, but we can use all available tools in order to establish new relations with people. So use our media, our, let's say, radio show, our other, we speak with media if sometimes, we write statements, articulations, communicate via social media, etc., etc. So I would say that in the first moment of this revolt, the anti-capitalist bloc was maybe the only political subject, I don't know, in the country that was in a way able to reflect, to understand what is really happening, to produce a response, articulation that had some substance. Because, you know, the response from the state was repression and the whole spectacle connected with it. And that was also the response, of course, of a lot of the media, but also a lot of the sociologists and all the others, other producers of the ideology, was that this is, they of course don't know how to read social struggles, and especially they don't know how to read this kind of social eruptions. So, and because we, I think, managed to at least have something to say, then also this influenced the discourse later on, also in the media, also journalists and other commentators also discovered that, hey, this is something, it's something serious going on here. It's, we have a social revolt with real basis. So we cannot just speak all the time about vandalism and violence. We have to speak about the devastation that this society is experiencing, where, and a lot of people don't have conditions to live normally. So I think that we were recognized soon as like by a lot of people as some kind of a force. And later, a couple of months after all this, of course, or not a couple of months, maybe. If I said that immediate reaction was a reaction of panic, of emptiness, of no substance, then in a couple of weeks, a lot of new initiatives formed from the people that were on the streets, and this was also all sorts of initiatives, from initiatives for a new political party, for the general liberal agenda initiatives, and everything I don't know, in between. So, and then the space for political discussion and organizing became much more blurred. But we participated in a lot of the meetings where also other initiatives participated that just formed, as long as we could, advocate freely our basic positions, yeah, against police, so against self-policing, against normalization of repression. And our agenda, in a way, was that all of the other initiatives somehow take this as also principles of their work. And I think our engagement was not without success. So when there were discussions about when to call for the next big demo, we supported the idea that, of course, it should be illegal, the protest, so no permissions, and etc., etc. And all of the protests that happened in this uprising context were illegal, even though later, some other initiatives took they became more central than us, like initiatives that tried to make protest in format of concert, art, culture, etc. So then it was more difficult for us to have our voice heard, but still, I think we gained a lot of trust, credibility, by the people that were directly involved on the street. So this for us was, of course, the most important thing. And of course, the media focused more than on the, you know, on the initiatives that had speakers, representatives, and then later political parties. But this is not, of course, this was never our purpose. So, and we also expected that this would come.
But I mean, that is now 2 years ago, and somehow it went back to normal. Do you have the feeling that there's something left, or there's something which changed also for the people, maybe?
I think yes. I think all of the initiatives that come from this anarchist anti-authoritarian spectrum in Ljubljana and Slovenia got strengthened through this experience. And now maybe we feel more confidence in also doing things, doing our projects, such as maybe radio, anarchist radio. We feel confident that we can do big things, to think big in a way, but also we feel confident that we know how to build a process that would end up in a good and positive process for everybody involved. We feel more comfortable with being part of wider social struggles, because a lot of stereotypes about anarchist and anarchism were in a way destroyed, because people had the direct personal experience with us. We could meet, and so it was valuable for a lot of us. People could see that for us the anarchists were in a way the most organized group, the most reasonable, the most emotive, this is maybe exaggeration, but still it was possible to speak in the heat of the moment about feelings, political strategy, like about big things, like, okay, do we need to be afraid of the police repression now? Will we get arrested or not? How do we prevent this from happening in 2 weeks' time once everything subsides? And then at the same time to exchange feelings about the effects of tear gas or of whatever, that kind of extreme circumstances. So I think this is a lot. This is good also to deal with trauma of that kind of events, with both positive and negative aspects of that kind of situations.
But I mean, how is it with the people on the streets, or like in the everyday life? Do you have the feeling that that is something changed there, or is it just the anarchist movement who went stronger?
Yeah, I think our power, if we compare it to the task that we have, that is to change the society as a whole, our power is small. We cannot do much. So we did achieve some maybe changes in the discourse or in the imagination of people. But through our lives the lives of most of the people, of course, have remained, they're steadily, conditions of life are deteriorating. We still live in a crisis. We still live in a crisis age. So people are losing their jobs. They spend all their all the reserves that they had maybe accumulated from the past. And I think the general thing in the society, we did not stop this process. I see that this uprising was the moment when the absolute certainty that things are just going to get really worse got expressed spontaneously by a mass of people, and the uprisings were an expression of both rage and of desire to change things. But this is still far from being the tool of this change. So I think yes, we can say we did not let's say the government fell, and then there was a new government, and now is the third government. The new political faces came on top, also as a result, direct result of the uprising. But of course, the policies remain the same. the politics of devastation continues everywhere on all levels of social life. And I think we should not read in this a defeat. I think that we have to be in a way capable of recognizing where we are as anarchists positioned in the society, and then be aware what is it that we can do. And so I think it is very valuable and important to be able to recognize victories in a way, and also of course to recognize the lost battles. And but I think it's really important to construct narratives in which you can recognize also your strength. And this, yes, I think it is important to have these two different perspectives at the same time. So the level of the whole society and the level of maybe, let's say, the movement against the state of things. And I think for us that we were able to, you know, our squads, our initiatives, our organizations that were able to somehow not only get stronger in the whole uprising, but also we were able to test what we have to offer to the wider, to other people that are not professional activists, that are not anarchists. And yes, we could also see clearly our limitations, that in a way you tried to also, you know, you try to also to we try to discuss. We could see, of course, our limitations. They're not smaller, but also I think the what we can say, what surprises us maybe, is that we did manage to create a lot of positive relations with people that we just met on the streets, and we did manage to build some trust, and we did manage to keep the space open, not only for us but for everybody. I think that's not a small thing, and maybe for the let's say more like really community, like of radicals or of anti-authoritarians. Like, for us, in a way, the uprising period ended 6 months after it started. Symbolic, in a way, we could say that, like, 6 months from the beginning of uprising, we had the Balkan Anarchist Book Fair in Ljubljana, in Metelkova. And we organized it, of course, completely... it was organized by us, by anarchists, but a lot of people that we have just met during the uprisings got involved in the organizing aspects of the whole thing, in technical, and they participated, and they were interested, and they cooked, and they cleaned together with all of us. And for us, this was it was really good, good, you know, we saw this as an expression of distrust. Like, because it was maybe unimaginable a year before to organize an event on such a scale in this way. And the lines between who is now the organizer, who is now the anarchist and who not, it was completely blurred, because a lot of people I'm speaking now about the book fair, a lot of people just, there were many levels of engagement. And it was really nice to see this as a let's say, last act of this period of uprising in Slovenia.
Good. Thank you.